which is an alternative method for calculating the adjusted sodium adsorption ratio, presenting as Glenn O'Bear.
Thanks for the introduction, Dr. Soldat. My name is Glenn O'Bear. I'm working on a master's with Dr. Soldat, University of Wisconsin, and I'm studying bicarbonate precipitation in sand-based root zones. And so what I'm going to talk to you guys about today is deeply tied with carbonate precipitation. So we're going to talk about an alternative method for calculating the adjusted sodium adsorption ratio. So the use of non-potable water for irrigation has traditionally been restricted to the southwestern United States. But as pressure has increased on water resources, the use of this non-potable water has increased throughout the United States. Now, this non-potable water can be in the form of effluent water, highly saline groundwater, or recycled surface water. There's a golf course in Wisconsin that actually harvests water from urban runoff, and they actually use it to irrigate the turf on their golf course. Now, during the spring, after snowmelt and all the road salts that have been applied, this water has a seasonally high salt content, so even in Wisconsin, we can deal with salt issues. So a really common way to address sodium in water is through the sodium adsorption ratio, or the SAR. And this is calculated through simply a ratio of the sodium over the calcium and magnesium in an irrigation water. When you receive a water test report, it's really common to see this adjusted sodium adsorption ratio. So when we think about adjusting this equation, what are the different ways that we can actually increase this equation? We can increase sodium, or we can decrease calcium and magnesium. And this would happen through precipitation with carbonates. Well, it turns out calcium does have the potential to precipitate with carbonates, and this is called calcite. There is really no evidence to suggest that dolomite or magnesium carbonate will precipitate in typical soil conditions during irrigation operations. Dolomite is known to exist in ancient marine sediments, but there's really no support to show that it will precipitate through irrigation operations. So as calcite or calcium carbonate precipitates, the denominator decreases in this fraction, and sodium hazard then increases. So to deal with this issue of calcite precipitation, superintendents are often recommended these treatment options such as acid injection or soil amendments to try to dissolve calcium carbonate and therefore or thereby reduce the sodium hazard increase. But it's important to consider that the analyses and recommendations for one region are not necessarily applicable to all regions. So we must tailor our water analyses and recommendations to account for differences in not only the water, but also the soil characteristics of different regions and the climate differences of different regions, particularly rainfall and evapotranspiration. And so just to give ourselves a frame of reference here, when we talk about SAR and the practical implications for turf managers, the values that you'll see commonly cited in literature for different sodium hazards are SAR between 0 and 10, referred to as a low hazard, between 10 and 18, medium hazard, 18 to 26 high, and greater than 26, very high. And these values are the same whether you're using an SAR or an adjusted SAR. So I sent an identical water sample to 5 different water testing labs. I wanted to see what they reported for my adjusted SAR value. When I got the results back, 3 of the labs actually didn't give me an adjusted SAR value. I called to find out why, and they told me because there are multiple methods for calculating this value. It's kind of a gray area, and so they just chose not to report it because of this kind of gray area. 2 of the labs did report it, and they were using Bauer's method, which was published in 1968. What Bauer does is he takes the SAR value, and he multiplies it by this factor to account for calcite precipitation. So he has this PHC term here. Use the mouse. And this is simply the pH of the irrigation water saturated with calcium carbonate. To calculate this PHC value, it's simply a constant minus a constant plus the negative logarithm of 3 values that are found in the water analysis. But there are some issues with this method. It was devised in 1968 using chemistry from the 1930s, so it uses outdated thermodynamic constants. It assumes that calcium and magnesium actually precipitate similarly, where we actually see that calcium carbonate can precipitate, but magnesium carbonate most likely will not. This method also assumes a soil pH of 8.4, and you see in the equation right there. And that's not a realistic assumption because soil pHs in Wisconsin, for example, can range from 4 to 8.4. So there are huge ranges in soil pH all over the U.S. So that's not a fair assumption. So therefore, this method tends to overpredict the SAR. So in 1981, Suarez took a look back at this original SAR calculation and realized that magnesium's probably not going to precipitate with carbonate, but calcium has the potential to. So we need to separate out this calcium term, and this is really what we need to consider. So what he does is he multiplies the partial pressure of CO2, which we assume to be in the soil about 10 to 100 times greater than that in the atmosphere, and you multiply that partial pressure of CO2 by this X factor. And this X factor he produces in a table. And so we'll zoom in a little bit so we can see the table better. The table is simply, on the left-hand side, we have the bicarbonate to calcium ratio, values from 0.1 to 10. And on the top right, we have ionic strength values in moles of charge per liter. And so you choose your ionic strength and your bicarbonate calcium ratio based on your water analysis, and you choose that X factor, multiply it by the partial pressure of CO2, and that's going to give you your calcite precipitation. But in the conclusion of this paper, Suarez actually said the best way to evaluate the accuracy of these SAR adjusted equations is to actually compare our equations to computer model predictions. That's because our equations try to account for calcite precipitation, but a computer model prediction can do this precisely, correcting for activity coefficients and complexing with among ions in the solution. So this is what Suarez said. So why don't we just use a computer model prediction? Well, he said this in 1981, and computer technology has come a long way since then. Today, we have chemical equilibrium software, such as Visual Mintec or ChemEQL. Both of these have free versions online. And what these programs do, essentially, is they analyze all of the inputs that you give them, and they tell you how the different species that you've entered are going to interact with one another. So you can input all of the information from your water analysis. You can set a pH value and a partial pressure of CO2, and it will tell you exactly how all of those elements are going to interact with one another. But what we really care about is what the water is going to do as it enters the soil. So instead of using the water pH, you can use the soil pH. Instead of using partial pressure of CO2 in the atmosphere, you can use partial pressure of CO2 in the soil. And this is going to help us really determine what's going to happen as that water enters the soil. So we have results from a water analysis, for example, and just here to show that you have all these values. You can input them right into the equilibrium software, just as they're shown here. And then you get an output that looks something like this. For this example, I used Visual Mintec to produce this output. And it looks a little bit busy, I'll admit, at first glance, but you really only need three pieces of information from this result: the calcium concentration, magnesium, and sodium concentrations. They're reported in moles per liter. You can convert them to millimoles charge per liter and plug them right into the SAR calculation and calculate SAR. And so this is an SAR that's accounted for calcite precipitation accurately based on the inputs that you provided. So just to compare this to some of the other methods that are out there, I arbitrarily chose one water sample that happened to have a pH of 7.5. The SAR was 7.16. The adjusted SAR through Bauer's method was 12.37, with Suarez's method, 11.89, and with the Visual Mintec simulation, 11.43. One of the issues with Bauer's and Suarez's equations is that they don't directly allow you to account for soil pH in the equation. But with the Visual Mintec method, you can just go to a drop-down menu and actually set the soil pH directly to what you want it to be. And that's really preferable because when you irrigate a soil, that irrigation water is going to assimilate to the soil pH because the soil is highly buffered. So to look at this, to illustrate this, I ran these calculations with different soil pHs using the Visual Mintec method. And you can see at soil pHs of 5.5, 6.5, the adjusted SAR hardly changes. But at pHs of 7.5 and 8.5, the adjusted SAR changes significantly. So it seems that at these higher pHs, that's when it really comes into play. So this illustrates the importance of considering soil pH when we're looking at this calculation, because the soil pH can significantly change the outcome. So we talked about soil pH, but we also need to consider climate in this calculation. So if you just think about it in a basic sense, we can either concentrate the soil solution through evapotranspiration and a lack of rainfall, or we can dilute the soil solution through rainfall and irrigation. And so a way to think about this is through the leaching fraction. Practically, to a superintendent, the leaching fraction is the amount of water needed to prevent salts from building up in the soil profile. So I ran the calculations considering leaching fraction and these different methods. So I put the values for leaching fraction of 1 in bold because when the leaching fraction is 1, the equations don't change at all because you just multiply everything by 1 or divide by 1. But as the leaching fraction is less than 1, that indicates that we're concentrating the soil solution. We're concentrating the ions in the solution. And therefore, the SAR adjusted increases significantly. But when we dilute the soil solution, let's say we get heavy rainfall, the leaching fraction is above 1, and the SAR adjusted goes down significantly. So this illustrates the importance of considering climate. Regions that don't have frequent rainfall and very high ET, like the desert southwest, really need to consider using this adjusted SAR method and accounting for that leaching fraction because it increases their risk significantly. But in a region like Wisconsin, where we have frequent rainfall events, our leaching fraction is often above 1, so you can see that it reduces the risk of sodium hazard. So the impact of this, if we can get a more accurate interpretation of our SAR, we can make better recommendations to turf managers and ultimately save them money. If we can more accurately calculate their SAR, they're going to have a more true, they're going to know about their sodium hazard much more accurately. So and remember that table I showed? I sent that water analysis to 5 different testing labs. 3 of the labs didn't report an adjusted SAR. They were hesitant to report it because of the confusion of the different calculations. 2 of the labs were using Bauer's method from 1968. So all the tools that we need are available right now, free online simulation programs. So it's a simple shift to increase the accuracy of this calculation. So it seems that computer model simulation can accurately account for calcite precipitation and really help us make a more accurate SAR adjusted equation or a calculation. It also seems that the SAR adjusted is most appropriate for calcareous soils, as we saw with the pH calculations, whereas for an acidic or neutral soil, the regular SAR, non-adjusted SAR, is appropriate. Furthermore, soil pH and climatic data, particularly rainfall and ET, really are needed for the best interpretation of SAR. With that, I'll open it up to any questions.
We have time for a few questions.
Yes?
I work with Brookside Summit, and you're right about them using the Bauer method. They're going to switch over to using Suarez's way. So I'm going to add that in this coming year. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sure. Well, so what's the question, I guess, directly?
Well, how would you recommend the soil pH you're talking about? You're using off their soil test.
Yeah, and that's really the most readily available soil pH. But, yeah, it would be important to consider how that could change with different CO2 levels and whatnot. So, yeah, I think that would be feasible. And you know, like Brookside, for example, does water testing and soil testing. So if the superintendent was a client, you know, with that particular lab, you could send a soil sample and a water sample for the best analysis. So.
Okay, well, to save additional questions.